You know, one of the great problems that we have, I think, I don't know where we sing too fast, our mind works too slow. I really don't know the problem, but we are exposed in songs to a fantastic amount of spiritual information and supposedly spiritual inspiration. But very seldom do we really pay enough attention for it to have any effect on us. Now, we've been dealing on Sunday nights with religious habits that have never become holy habits. And I believe one of these, of course, would be singing, or what you would call sacred music. And there is secular music and there is sacred music, and sacred music is supposed to have an effect on us. I watched some of these not very long, I'll guarantee you. Some of these rock and roll concerts that just happened to come on television or newscasts, and I can stand about 20 seconds and it's got to go. But I see how these kids are affected. They go wild. You know, I don't really understand. The music to me drives me up the wall. You know, I just can't bear it. But it does have an effect on these kids. So music can affect us. Usually, if anything can affect you, music will. You know, Saul, they say Saul was sort of touched. He was kind of cuckoo. And he would have David come and play the harp, and that would sort of calm him down. There may be something to this, that music can soothe the nerves and bring contentment to us. And maybe this is why we have so much music today in our surroundings. And we've talked about several spiritual habits that a lot of folks, or at least religious habits that a lot of folks who are faithful to the Lord carry out, but these spiritual habits never affect their life. They never bring about change. They never make them any better. They never make them more Christ-like. They never draw them closer to Christ. They never make them more appreciative of the life of Christ. They never make them go the way of Christ more eagerly. That is, these religious habits leave their life untouched. It's as though they do not even carry them out. We live in, I guess you might say, a very fortunate time of history, for we have at our disposal an access to music more than we can really tolerate. Actually, you can get all the music you want on radio, and I'm talking now about religious music. There is coming on stream, as I understand, another religious station soon, and it will be replaying music all day long. 24 hours a day you can get religious music. We have almost a concert within the city limits, or the city area of Greater Houston, a concert put on by Christians. Fantastic people that can sing. We have access in bookstores to unlimited, if you got the money, numbers of cassettes that give you hours and just hours and hours of Christian music. And just like that, you can also, if you have the money, go in and buy records and play these records at your disposal all day long if you so desire. And a lot of Christians have spent literally thousands of dollars on religious music. You can hardly go anywhere today and not be exposed to music. Now, not just religious music, but exposed to music. I saw a man building a house, walked over, and he was listening to a Christian radio station while he built the house. You've all probably called somebody on the telephone, and they'll say, well, just a minute, and while you wait, they turn on the music for you, and you sit there and listen to some music. Well, it's not Christian music, but we're a music-oriented society. I went ahead of a tailpipe put on a car, and here was a music blaring out, a little old portable radio sitting on the concrete, so loud you couldn't even hear the cars being worked on. Car pull up beside you, even if your window's up, his window's up, you can still hear his radio's playing right beside you. Every car has a radio. Very seldom do you ever see a car without a radio, and most all of them are listening to music. Few of them like me listen to talk shows because they don't like the music, but there's music. You go into office buildings, sit in the dentist chair, go to see the doctor, music. You hear music everywhere. You can't watch a television show because all the background is music. It'd be so drab if it wasn't any music to it. Yeah, everybody went shopping for a suit. Everybody said, where'd you get a new suit? And I said, yeah, I got one. This person was born years, but while we were in there, there was a radio sitting up on a shelf. This was one of those warehouse kind of things, you know, not much display, but there was a radio, and it was playing classical music. Now, that was a switch. I went to buy a lampshade one time because one was broken, and I walked into this lamp place, and he was playing classical music. Very few people play that stuff, you know. But anyway, the whole store was listening to some kind of symphonic orchestra as they played. We're bombarded by music wherever we go. And someone made this observation, and when I read it, I thought to myself, you know, they're right. They said, we are surrounded daily by music, but no one seems to listen. I thought about that. Now, I didn't listen to that symphony music in that clothing store. I talked the whole time I was in there. Told me, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? I wouldn't listen to that music. In that store where I got my tailpipe picks, I wouldn't listen to that music. I was drawn away from that one, you know. I wouldn't listen to that music. We are surrounded by music, but somehow we have trained our ears to tune it out. You can, sometimes you may be annoyed. You say, well, I want you to hear this song. And you start playing this song, and about, oh, maybe a third of the way through, they start talking to you. They're not listening to the song. They want to talk to you. And this is so true. A lot of time about music, no one seems to be listening to what's going on. And I believe this is true about sacred music. We're surrounded by it, even in a church service, and we hear it and we sing it, but we don't remember what we said, and we don't even know what we said. We don't, therefore, have a chance to think about what we said, and if you don't think about the song you sang, it's not going to have any effect on you. It's as though it was never said. Now, there's no doubt that singing is supposed to be a Christian exercise, Christian activity. It's even commanded by the Lord. If you will, now look at Psalms 95:1. Psalms 95:1. Just say a few things tonight about singing. You don't really have to sing to be blessed by spiritual music in our day, but I think it helps. Psalms 95:1. Oh, come and let us sing. Now notice the direction that our singing is to take. Not let us sing to each other, or not even let us sing so much for the benefit of each other, but let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing to the Lord. Make Him your audience. To put it another way, your singing is supposed to serenade the ears of your God. Sing to the Lord. And let us make a joyful noise. Now I can make the noise. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. And that's one of the key purposes of singing, is to be thankful. Now, we talked about praise, and you, of course, can sing and praise the Lord, but we need to thank the Lord in song. And make a joyful, and that's twice He says that. This is the only spiritual habit that you can get into that ought to really bring joy to you. It ought to be a joyful activity that you involve yourself in. Make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. And that, of course, is psalms. Psalms 13:6. Turn back a little bit to the 13th chapter, Psalms 13:6. And it says, I will sing again the direction unto the Lord. Why? Because He's been good to me. Because He has dealt bountifully with me. What He's saying is, I just want to thank the Lord in a special way. Singing is a type of thanksgiving that the Lord appreciates. Because thanksgiving always comes out of a joyful heart. I am happy when I have a reason to be thankful. Something has been done that's brought me some joy. And the Lord says, in that atmosphere, I would like for you to sing unto me a song of thanksgiving. So singing is to the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. It'll get His attention. I really don't think we understand how well the Lord listens to our singing. Now, we may tune out what we say, and those around us may tune out what we are singing, but God does not. He's very attentive to our singing. It would be very foolish for God to tell me to sing, and then He wouldn't listen to me. The whole purpose of singing is that I must say something He wants to hear, that He enjoys hearing. In prayer, oftentimes, we tell God things that sadden us. And I don't think he really enjoys hearing. There are things that have to be said. There are things that he must do for us. But they're not really things that just perk your heart up. But in singing, there's little you ever say to God that would sadden him, and that would grieve him, and that would bother him, and that might upset him. In singing, it's a joyous occasion. Now, you sing because there's something you just want to say to the Lord that you know he will like to hear. That's simple. That's the purpose behind singing. Some look upon singing as praise put to music. I think it's that, but I think it's a lot more than that. It is designed to be a spiritual stimulant in our life. And only if it's used in that manner will it become a holy habit and have a real changing effect upon our life. It'll influence us if we'll make that the purpose, that it will stimulate us. Now, singing involves music. That's nothing new to you. But as I understand it, and I guess this comes to our experience without even being explained to us, music will touch your soul. Sometimes it even touches your body and you begin to tap your fingers and tap your feet. But music will touch a man's soul. Now, what's the soul? I said this morning that your soul is Mr. Emotions. And that's why some of these kids at these rock concerts go wild. It touches their emotions. They get all excited. You can feel music. It's the melody more than the words in music that creates a feeling within the man's soul. And so you put together the melody and the right message, and then a song can deeply move us. It can stir us and it can touch us. Now, I have found from experience that not every Christian song can do that to me. But I have found some that will move me every time I hear it. One of those is "Father, I Adore You." I have not ever sung that song and not been touched by it. It gives me immediate, instant inspiration and closeness to God. God could almost get anything out of me after that song. That's the moment for him to move on me. And there are certain songs that really touch my heart. One is "I'd Rather Have Jesus Than Silver or Gold." Nobody ever sings anymore, hardly, but that song really has always touched me. It'll make me spiritually serious, just like that. Now, a lot of songs don't do that to me, but that one does. And I enjoy those kinds of songs. And I feel this, that people are probably touched by certain songs, Christian spiritual songs, than by any other spiritual exercise they involve themselves in. You can get close to God quicker in singing than you can in prayer, than you can in church attendance, than you can in praise, than you can in Bible reading. You can get closer quicker to the Lord in singing if you pay attention to what you're doing. And when this happens, you see it becomes a holy habit. God begins to influence you through the song. And so the end result of that is that the musical testimony becomes actually the musical life. What I'm saying here is that the testimony of your song becomes the testimony of your walk. You begin to live your song. You begin to act out the song that so deeply touched you. If it's really become a holy habit, you begin to practice not what you preach, but you practice what you sing. And until we begin to practice what we sing, singing is only a religious habit. It is not a moral habit. It's not a holy habit. And that's the way to know if your singing really has become a holy habit. If you begin to live the song, if you begin to practice what you sing, then it's becoming a holy habit. Otherwise, it's just a religious habit. Now, this can never happen until you pay close attention to the words that you're singing. And then it can happen. I believe it's easy to speak words in songs, and that's what I asked while ago, how observant are you? I'm no more observant than you are, you see. If I hadn't have wanted to do this to you, I wouldn't remember it either. But I remembered, and I had a little song for you I looked at. See, I wasn't going to let you look. I wasn't going to let you look. But God is listening, and God takes serious what you're saying to him. I might say, whether you realize that, I never have sung a love song to Mary Lou. I can't sing, and she would never be impressed, you know. But these are love songs. Think about it now. These are love songs. Can you feature start singing a love song to your wife, and she says, "Hey, we're going to have for dinner." Now, right in the middle of your song. Now, that would really turn you off, wouldn't it? Oh, man. You are all ready to tell her how you... And so the Lord is not going to say something else to you. I mean, he's listening. But if you're in the middle of your song begin to think about something else while you're singing, he says, hey, man, you're not serious. You're not loving me. What are you doing? You know, if you want to talk about having a hamburger in the middle of your Jesus Loves Me song, well, if it's your thoughts on something else, he's not impressed with this. And neither would you be. And so he's... These are sincere words of love spoken, singing to the Lord. Now, pay attention to what you're saying. You make a lot of promises you don't even know you're making when you're singing. You got to watch what you're saying to the Lord. He says, you know, it's better to never make a vow to me than to make a vow and break it. Now, a lot of us make vows in songs that we never remembered making. And we say, hey, man, I didn't promise that. Yes, you did. You mean that love song you sang last Sunday morning? You sure did promise that. And the Lord wants us to be serious when we sing unto him. And so if we're serious, then it becomes a very holy habit, you see. Not only, I think, is singing profitable as far as being reminding us of our duty, practice our song as well as practice our preaching, but it's also a good form of spiritual recreation. It's a way to get excited about your faith. It's a way to promote some joy in your life. It's a way to relax your mind. It's a way to build your faith. It's spiritual therapy for the Christian. You might use it this way. It's the quickest pepper-upper that God supplies us is singing to the Lord. It becomes spiritual recreation that produces a delight. Some have spoken of it as the jubilee time for the soul, and that may be correct. Look at Psalms 100, verse 1 and 2. Psalms 100, verse 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise. Now there's that word joyful. 101, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now notice, and come before his presence with singing. When you come before the Lord and you sing, it begins to give you the right kind of attitude, an attitude of delight in your God. You may say, Lord, I find a lot of fault, but I don't find any fault with you. Huh? I've got a lot of problems, but I don't have any problem with you. I think it's very important that our singing set that kind of attitude. Singing needs to eliminate from our life griping and murmuring and bellyaching about our God. Now, I can say, Lord, I've really got some problems, and I'm really unhappy, but I'm not unhappy with you. And if you're not careful, you'll say that to him. I don't like the way you're handling my life, but if you sing, the singing will remove the hard feelings you might have about the Lord. Because after you've gotten through saying how great he is and how you love him and how wonderful it is and how satisfied you are with him, you're not going to come around and gripe and bellyache to him. And so singing sets, comes into his presence singing. If you don't, you come into his presence complaining about things. And the Lord sure doesn't like murmuring and complaining, because you're saying to him, we don't find your dealing with our life very good. We're very unsatisfied with you. Now, look at Psalms 149, 4 and 5. Psalms 149, 4 and 5. If you got through singing to your girlfriend how much you love her, you really can't run her down too much. You really can't. You've already set the stage. Psalms 149, 4 and 5. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Now notice. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory, and let them sing aloud upon the beds. Just don't sing at church. But notice, the Lord takes pleasure in his people, go on down here, in them that sing. Them that sing. Those that are joyful. What's he saying? Those who sing are saying to him, God, I'm a satisfied customer. And he loves to hear that. I'm a satisfied customer. I may not be satisfied with the way the world is going and satisfied with the way man is living, but I'm satisfied with you. And I'm satisfied with the way that you're dealing with my life. That's antidepressive when you talk like that. Look at Acts 16, 24 and 25. Notice what Paul does. Well, he's been thrown in prison. He's got his feet put in stocks. Midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and then they sing. Then they sing. You say, boy, that's not the time to sing. Sure it is. What are they saying? God, I'm a satisfied customer. How can they do that? How can they be satisfied while they're in jail and in bonds? Because they know God has led them there. God is with them. And everything's under God's control. And they're saying, God, we're a satisfied customer. We're a satisfied customer. Now, I got a song here. I just want to give you a few lines that helps you realize that God's good to you. Even when things go bad, like Paul and Silas in jail, he leadeth me, led him right into jail. Oh, my goodness. You know, God, what kind of God are you to put us in this mess? Huh? He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Have you ever sung this? Old words with heavenly comfort fraught, whatever I do and where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that's led me. He leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God's hand that leadeth me. Boy, you sing that and you mean it. It'll sure help you in times of great difficulty and great sorrow. We're reminded of God's faithfulness and God's perfect and good and acceptable will. Singing then becomes a faith builder. It brings you hope and it brings you encouragement. Well, I've got some more scriptures. Look at Colossians 3:16. I'm going to go ahead and stop. Colossians 3:16. One other thing I want to say. Then there's Ephesians 5:18 and 19. But Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now notice, teaching and admonishing one another with your psalms and with your hymns and with your spiritual songs. Teach yourselves and teach others by your psalms. And then Ephesians 5:18 and 19. Do not be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Now one of the traits of one filled with the Spirit is that he will speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in his heart to the Lord. You know, a song is a mini sermon. A song is a mini testimony that somebody has given. A drunk man often sings, but you know that what he sings, and follow me now, what he sings reveals the corruptions of his heart. I want to say it again. A drunk man often sings his songs, but his songs reveal the corruption of his heart. They're a testimony about him. He tattletales on himself in his song. Did you know your songs reveal the state of your heart? They reveal the condition of your conscience, and they reveal the loves of your free time. Your songs tell on you. There are certain songs Christians can't sing. Just can't sing them. They're not my testimony. They're not my life. My conscience would not be right if I sang those songs. I couldn't address those songs to the Lord's ears. I couldn't sing those songs to the Lord's delight. Because you see, we have to sing how we feel, God. We have to sing how we believe. We have to sing what we live, and we have to sing what we dream. The drunk man does. And we have to too. But our song can't be like his. And my song tells a lot about me. It tells me a lot about me. It tells my God a lot about me. It tells my neighbor a lot about me. My song does that. And song, lastly, my singing helps me in dealing with the lust of my flesh, with the temptations of the world and the enticements of Satan. Satan hates to hear you sing to the Lord when you're enticed to do evil. Man, you can turn off a temptation real quick if you sing the right song to the Lord. It just sort of gets you out of the mood to do singing, you know. Boy, if I walked in Gillies tonight and started singing the right songs, it would ruin that place. It would ruin that place. They'd run me out. It just wouldn't go. But it would sure help you if you find yourself in temptation. I want to close out with the song, When We Walk with the Lord. When you're tempted, how about this one? You know, the temptation's always, man, if you want to have fun, you want to enjoy life, you got to sin, 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 more sin. You just got to do it. You won't be happy until you sin. Let me give you a song. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who trust and obey. Let's go on. Trust and obey, Christian, for there's what? No other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now the devil says, you won't be happy unless you sin. You sing him, trust and obey. You sing it to him. There's no other way to be happy as a Christian. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but for me to trust and for me to obey. Well, one more. Face to face with Christ my Savior. This is a love song. Thought I'd throw it in for you. You never thought it was a love song. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I want to see Him by and by. Face to face, oh blissful moment. Face to face, just to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Singing keeps you from forgetting about your salvation. Face to face, I shall behold Him. Face far beyond the starry sky. Face to face, in all His glory, I want to see Him by and by. Father, we're thankful tonight for the abundance of Christian-inspired music. For all the thousands and thousands of saints who've gone on before us, who have recorded love songs to You as this one, Face to Face. May songs that we sing register on our memory and become a holy habit in our life to produce a change in us. We ask it in Your name. Amen.